Hi there, welcome along. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington joined by three fine young judges in Mark Boylan, Chris Loader and Robbie Wilders to look ahead to an eight-race bonanza on Saturday on ITV that includes the Irish Derby. We've got all the best bets for Newcastle. It's their big day with the Northumberland Plate. Like I say, Curra hosts the Irish Derby and there's also three races at Newmarket. Some decent stuff on Sunday too. A Group 1 back at the Curra in the form of the Pretty Polly. And we'll see what else the boys fancy. Plus, we'll get the weekend naps. So, tons and tons to be getting stuck into. We'll start with Newcastle, where there are four races on the ITV schedule. The first of which is the 150. It's the Potemps Network Handicap over six furlongs. And as is the theme for a lot of today, particularly at Newcastle, it's wide open. I'm going to read out the best odds as per the racingpost.com best odds button. And they're as follows. 11-2, Rolf Rembrandt. 6, Strike Red. 9, Sound Reason. 10, If You Dare. 12-1, Bar. A tough old start, Robbie Wilders. Or is it? Have you sussed one?
Yeah, far too tough for me, Bruce. My record in sprint handicaps, big field sprint handicaps, wouldn't be great anyway. So I've decided to leave this one out and I'll pass it over to the other two.
All right then, Chris, have you fastened on to one?
Yeah, a tentative vote for Strike Red for Oshinor and Richard Fahey. I just thought it was a little bit more like it last time out at Hamilton when he finished in fourth place. He wasn't beaten that far. He's got a good record as well over this course and distance. I think he'll prefer coming back to the all-weather. He won in his last two visits here. He is still a little bit higher than his last win, but I think the Fahey team are in a little bit better form now, and he was just my marginal preference. But as you say, Bruce, it's quite a competitive affair.
It looks it, doesn't it? Mark, have you sussed one for us?
I think there's a bit of value in Be Pro down the very bottom for Jim Goldie and Paul McRennan. They have more winners here than any other track in Britain. And like this horse, 5 of his 7 wins have come at Newcastle. Cracking run last time at Ayr. That was over 5 furlongs. Another 2 strides he would have got there. And he's only up a pound. And, you know, you could say that some of his best form is over 5, but I'd argue that if you look at even Racing Post ratings, 2 of his top 4 have come over 6. So like, he was 2nd in the Bronze Cup at Ayr last year. Thought that was a screaming run. So give me a bit of Be Proud there down the bottom, 10-1. He should run well.
I think there's 16s going about. Okay, then let's move on to the 225 at Newcastle. It's 6 furlongs again, but it's a group race. It's the Potemps Network Chip Chase Stakes over a group three over 6 furlongs. Sense of Duty favourite at 2-1 for Tom Marcond and William Haggas. And then it's 9-2 Spycatcher, 6 Glen Shield, 7 Edrark, 17-2, very interesting, Ebro River, 12 Happy Power, 22 Bar, and to kick us off, Chris Loader.
Yeah, I want to take on the favourite here, Sense of Duty, even though she has been very impressive on her last few starts and she is still on an upward curve. But for me, she's too short. And I think sometimes when we get these three-year-olds coming into these races, obviously they get the weight allowances, but I don't think sometimes they're maybe developing as quickly as what we think they are. She might be better than some of these in time, but for me, I think she's a little bit too short. And I've decided to go with an old favourite of mine, Glen Shiel, for Holly Doyle and Archie Watson. I think he represents a bit of value at the moment and he wouldn't be a bad each way bet for me. He loves it over this course and distance. In fact, his last two visits have provided him with victories over this course and distance. He hasn't won since he won on Champions Day at Ascot, but I think this is his easiest task for quite some time. He'll probably be handy. He'll be towards the front. He's got stamina as well for a little bit extra over 7 furlongs up to a mile he's raced during his career. So I think he'll still be there or thereabouts in the last furlong. He's officially the best horse in the race as well. He's rated 114. I just don't think there's too many in here that maybe have the back class that he does. But I can see why some people might be a bit concerned because he hasn't shown much this year. But I think this, like I say, is easier assignment for some time.
Okay, that would put the seal on a great week for Archie Watson, who, of course, this week got married to the excellent jockey Brodie Hampson. Mark Boylan, who do you like in the Chip Chase?
I'm actually really strong on Sense of Duty, and I can see where Chris is coming from. It was a concern of mine, too, in terms of three-year-olds. Philly's taking on the older boys, but I actually was just looking at the race form system this morning, and I think since 2016, there's been 50 fillies who were three-year-olds taking on older boys in Group 2s and Group 3s in Britain. and 19 of them have won. So 19 out of 50, the up level stakes profit of 22. Actually, even four of the last seven have won, and they've been 11 to 1, 7 to 1, sixes twice. So, like, I mean, that wouldn't concern me as much as maybe you might on the surface of it. I just think she's really, really good. And Flo has franked the Haydock Farm when third in the Commonwealth Cup. I think she'll be very hard to beat, to be honest.
One for Glenshiel, one for Sense of Duty, and one for Robbie.
Glenshiel for me. I'm with Chris. Yeah, I thought Sense of Duty is a little bit short. I think, I don't know if she'd be such a short price if she wasn't trained by William Haggis. I think, well, you're looking at her pedigree. There's no all weather. She's never on the all weather before. There's no real sign that she's going to be as strong on the all weather as on turf. Whereas Glenshiel, I mean, he's 3 from 5 at Newcastle with a second and a third. I mean, this is a Group 1 horse, really. I mean, he's won a Group 1. He's finished third in two others. And he's dipping down to a Group 3 at a course he really likes. I think he's still shown enough ability this season to suggest that he's well capable of winning at this level. And I think 6 to 1 is a massive price about him.
Well, if you do like Glenshiel, as Chris and Robbie do, you can get 6 to 1 with William Hill and Bet365, both of whom offer 4 places. Or Skybet goes 6 to 1 and offer 5 places. Do you like that, Rob?
Yeah, like that. Superb. Yeah, it's not the biggest field in the world. So
12 runners, yeah.
Certainly an each-way play on those terms.
Lovely. We move on. The 255 at Newcastle is the Jennings Bet Northumberland Vase. It's a consolation race for the Northumberland Plate, so it's 2.5 miles And as with the Plate, which we will come to next, it's ultra-competitive. Evaluation unbeaten in 4 this season for Keith Dalglish and Callum Rodriguez. He's favourite at 13-2. Zealandia 8-1. It's 9-1. Mellow Magic 10. Jeremia 11. Raven's Arc 12. Smart Champion 14. Bar. There's 5 places on offer with most bookmakers. Skybet offer 6 places. With all that in mind, 19 runners, Robbie. It looks a pretty difficult test, doesn't it?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, there's quite a few on my shortlist, but I've zoned in on Monsieur Lambre's at about 14s. I mean, stall one is going to be tricky. I mean, it's been a bit of a graveyard stall in this race over the years. But, I mean, Z-Band won from stall 2 last year and the previous 2 winners were lowly drawn. So I'm going to take a risk. I mean, this horse showed absolutely nothing for Richard Fahey on his first 2 starts this season. But out of nowhere, he just popped up at Epsom last time. He finished first past the post over 1.6 miles, but lost the race in the steward's room. So quite surprised he's not actually gone up for that at all. I think this horse needs a trip. He's off the same mark. There's plenty of each-way appeal, and I think he's quite well handicapped. So, Monsieur Lambre is for me.
Horses lose races in the steward's room. Blimey, I didn't think that still happened. Who do you like, Chris?
Yeah, I'm going to be boring. I like the favourite here, Bruce, Evaluation. Just a horse, I think, that's really going places. Actually now rated £6 lower compared to his turf mark on the all-weather, who's got a rating of 84. But I just think he's really been getting his act together. He's won his, like you say, his last 4 starts. He was very impressive, I thought, at Musselburgh last time, where he showed a really good turn of foot to pull away from his rivals in the closing stages. He's got an interesting pedigree as well. His dam was Ascot Gold Cup winner estimate for the Queen a few years ago. So stamina trips is what I think he needs in moving forward in his career. And he's still quite unexposed at it. He's going in the right direction. I was quite bullish about him, to be honest. He's probably one of my more stronger fancies of the day. And what I thought was interesting as well, Keith Dalglish had an entry for him at Royal Ascot in the Ascot Stakes. Didn't quite get in. He would have been racing off a low weight if he had. But I think they think that he is going places and he could be a horse that's still ahead of the handicapper. So Evaluation it is for me.
Righty ho. Mark, you were meant to go first in this race, but I messed it up. Still, you can go first in the Plate. So you're going third here. Are you going to go agree with the boys or are you going to take a chance on something else?
Evaluation, very, very high on my shortlist, but just like Mellow Magic, a little bit more, 4-year-old filly with Andrew Balling last week, teaming up with a claimer to win the Ascot Stakes, a good staying prize last week. Teams up with another claimer here, and Harry Davis taking off 5. Just thought this filly got into a bit of a scrap from a long way out at Goodwood, and against a tough horse like Black Kyanisi, that is not what you want to do. David Probert rolled forward early. I thought if he had just been a little bit more biting of his time, that kind of dented his finishing effort, or her finishing effort, I should say. Big field here, you can deliver a bit late. She won't be there to be shot at. Form of her second last run working out well. And she's never run on the all with her before, but Nathaniel actually has plenty of winners at Newcastle, particularly 4-year-olds and up. The dam's only win came on the all with her too. So look, I wouldn't be concerned in that regard. Mellow Magic might just be a bit of value around 8 or 9 to 1.
Right then. Okay, chaps, on to the big race of the day at Newcastle, the 3:30, the Jennings Bet Northumberland Plate. 2.5 miles a furlong is the trip. It's always a really, really great spectacle. There's 20 runners, 81 grand the first prize, and an old favourite, the lovely Rajinsky, heads the market. He's 11-2. Then it's 13-2 Valley Forge. Trushan carrying 10-8 for Holly Doyle is 7-1. One Smooth Operator 15-2. 10 Spirit Mixer, 11 Summer's Night, 12 Rainbow Dream, 14 Bar. Goodness me, good luck picking the winner, Mark Boylan.
Yeah, it's easy, isn't it? Said no one ever. This is very tricky. I'll have a couple of stabs at big price if you wouldn't mind. I thought Bandinelli back on the oval, that could do the trick with him. Ran no race at Haydock in his first start back, but he has bombed out on turf once before as well. But all weather wise, really solid. 6 runs, 3 wins, a second and a third. And I just thought he ran better than his finishing position suggested last time in the Copper Horse. Got caught wide, no cover. Got rolling earlier than the winner. He was still only half a length down, a furlong out before he weakened. And we saw last year, Hochfeld, he was 7th in the Copper Horse before being just touched off here as well in the Northumberland Plate. Definitely stays 2 miles. I like the book on a Tom Marcand. Appleby won this race with a 16-1 shot a few years ago. So I think Bandinelli around 16s, he's fair value at that price. And the other one I like is Solent Getaway. Fancied by some now in the Chester Cup, but just way too keen. Happy to draw a line through that. And I was pleased to see him settle much better last time at Epsom. He was traded at 7-2 when making headway 2 down. I thought he had a real chance then, but doors just closed in front of him. He had no chance. You know, that was over 1.5 miles. I think he'd be quicker to go through the gaps here at 2 miles. Switch him off, big field, take your time, use that pace. Bottom weight, 8 stone 6, just thought 20-1. He was a cracking each way bet. So Bandinelli and Solent Getaway for me.
Okay, who for you, Rob?
I like One Smooth Operator. He's not the biggest price. He's only about 7-1, 15-2, I think. But, I mean, this horse absolutely loves Newcastle. He was third in the All Weather Marathon to Earl of Cotswolds over the course and distance a couple of starts back. And all the horses he finished amongst there were rated much higher beforehand. He's then come out and run a really good race in a listed contest at York over 1.6 miles. And behind Without a Fight. That race shouldn't have really suited. It was running quite a slow time. This horse needs a decent pace over 2 miles. And he's officially £3 well in. So I'd say there's lots to like about One Smooth Operator.
Okay, thank you very much, Robbie. Chris Loader, who is your plate fancy?
Yeah, I thought it was really hard to keep Trushan out of the frame here. Again, I'm not being original. He's the class act by a country mile. I think he's a far better horse than when he ran in this last year. And it's interesting that they're not claiming...
Is he? A far better horse?
I would say so, but okay. I'd say in the last 12 months, he's gone up to Group 1 class. Before that, he was still on the way up. The last few outings, I think we've really seen him at the top of his game. I thought he had a nice return at Nottingham. That form's worked out quite well. He beat Quickborn. I know it was only a 4-runner race, but I just think he could be a little bit better than some of these carrying that extra weight. And I'm quite sweet on his chances to go fairly close tomorrow. It might just be his undoing given that extra weight away, but I think you're still getting a good price about him each way with those extra places. So he would probably be my main fancy for the race. Also, another one I'll give a mention to is Golden Flame. Conor Beasley's booked here for Charlie and Mark Johnston. Put a line for his run at Royal Ascot last time out, but if you go back to his run at Haydock on his penultimate start, he was only just beaten ahead by Valley Forge, who's a shorter price than he is. And I just thought he represented a bit of each way value, and he's quite unexposed on the all weather. He's raced on it once and he won on it at Chelmsford. I know that is probably tracking this to Peter, but he could have a little bit more to offer moving forward. And I didn't think he should be such a big price. So he would be my long shot in the race.
Thank you, gents. Don't forget, as we always say, whenever you're shopping around, don't just shop around for the best price. Shop around for the best places as well. Skybet and William Hill offer 7 places on the plate. And don't forget, if you've got the new Racing Post app or you go to racingpost.com, you just click on that best price and up will pop all the prices and all the place terms for those horses. And you can place bets straight away. It is the easiest way to pick your horse, pick your price, pick your place and place your bets. Back with the Curragh in 10 seconds.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Okay, it's classic day in Ireland. Irish Derby takes place at 3:45. Before that, though, at 3:05, we've got the Gain Railway Stakes, Group 2 over 6 furlongs. And Blackbeard for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore is favourite, currently at 15-8. Although being challenged for market leadership by Crispy Cat, who is 9-4. And then it's Shartash, 7-2. 5-1, Age of Kings. 16-1, Apache Outlaw. And 80-1, Borletti. We'll start with you, Chris Loader. Have you got a strong fancy for the Railway?
I thought it was pretty tricky to work out. We've got those with the recent Royal Ascot form with Blackbeard and Crispy Cat. But I'm going to take a chance on the Johnny Murta train, Shartash. Ben Kern booked for the ride. He didn't go to Royal Ascot. But I just think if you look at his pedigree, he's got one that screams out of an improver. And I just wonder if some of the others might have shown their hand. He ran a good race on debut over this course and distance behind Tough Talk and Little Big Bear, who won the Windsor Castle at Royal Ascot. So he's got some decent form to his name. I think he's going the right way. And I just think at the prices, he's probably the one I would side with, but not a particularly strong opinion. I thought it was quite a tight little race.
Okay, before Mark Boylan gives us his verdict on this race, there's a bit of a weather warning, isn't there, Mark?
You know what, Bruce? We looked at the forecast yesterday morning and they were looking at possibly 15 to 20 mils over the weekend. And a lot of guys would be getting fairly antsy about it. And I've just seen the latest forecast come through not long ago. And it looks like we're going to have 5 to 7 mil from afternoon today into the evening. We might just get away lightly tomorrow. It looks like it's going to be dry for afternoon racing. But if you're looking towards Sunday, again, we've got another 5 to 10 mil to come Saturday evening through to Sunday afternoon. So just worth bearing in mind for your calculations over the weekend. Hopefully Saturday's racing mightn't be the worst affected.
Okay, who's going to strike in the Railway?
I like Blackbeard, Bruce. I know the camp of Crispy Cat are fairly confident that he's in even better form than he was before the Norfolk, and he was unlucky. But, you know, the short turnaround might be putting a bit of value in Blackbeard's price. But we have seen with Aidan O'Brien, he's won this race 13 times. I think Vincent O'Brien has won it 14, so he'll try and draw a level here. But three of his winners, Rock of Gibraltar, Holy Roman Emperor, and Van Beethoven, they all had ran at Royal Ascot the week before, and it didn't do them any harm in coming here and winning. So it wouldn't put me off. I actually thought they could have made more use of Blackbeard in the Coventry. He was fourth, and I didn't think he was tiring at the line. I think a little bit more aggressive here, like they were when he won the Marble Hill and he made all. He could be hard to beat. Crispy Cash and Shartash, nice types, but just think Blackbeard has that solid base of experience. He'll take a bit of beating, I think.
Jolly good. Robbie, who do you like here?
Yeah, it's just obviously worth bearing in mind the weather. I think just looking at those forecasts, I'm thinking good to soft tomorrow on Saturday and probably soft on Sunday. So if it's good to soft, I'm going to stick
with Crispy. Well, that's if the forecasts are right, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, I know. These things are wrong. You just got to go with your hunch, haven't you?
But, I'm thinking
good to soft, and I think Crispy Cat is the one. I mean, he was the moral winner of the Norfolk Stakes, really. The Riddler completely wiped him out. I think the way he's not run over six yet, but the way he saw at five at a stiff finish at Ascot makes you think that should be fine. He's got form on good to soft. A couple of these have only really got quick ground form. So, yeah, I think he's going to go a couple better.
At 3:45 on Saturday on ITV is the Dubai Duty Free Irish Derby over 1.4 miles. Although, according to Mark Boylan's Irish colleague, Alan Sweetman, it should be over 1.2 miles. That's another story. But we've got an intriguing race because Tuesday, the winner of the Oaks at Epsom was supplemented for this on, ironically, Tuesday, and is the 6-4 favourite. The third, the slightly unlucky third in the Derby, Westover, is 7-4. And then there's a big gap in the market out to Hannibal Barca and Lionel at 10s. Piz Badil is 11s. It's 33 bar. Currently got 8 runners, so there is each way potential. But the market has it down as a match between Tuesday and Westover. Robbie, I'm going to start with you. And first of all, obviously the big news in the week was that Rob Hornby, who got himself into a bit of a pickle at Epsom, has been replaced by Colin Keane. Is that a wise move?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, Rob Hornby, I don't know exactly how many times he'd ridden at the Curragh, but it can't be many. And this is Colin Keane's meat and drink. And by all accounts, I think Hornby would probably admit he's probably a slightly better rider with respect. So I don't think he can have too many complaints. I mean, I'm sure he'll get back on in Britain. But yeah, this is quite... I don't think it's completely... with the top two. I think Hannibal Barca is quite interesting. I think he might need the rain to get in to make it more of a test, though. I mean, he was already eye-catching fourth on heavy in the Vertem Futurity last season. I like the way he won the Galignol Stakes. I thought he shaped as if he's going to improve for another two furlongs. But I think probably the one is going to be Tuesday, though. I mean, the fact that she was able to win the Oaks on her third birthday, she should be physically behind a lot of these fillies and colts at this time. I mean, she's much younger. I think she's just going to keep improving. I like that form. And the fact that they've supplemented her and not decided to run any colts whatsoever is a bit of a tip in itself. So I'll stick with Tuesday, but I think Hannibal Barca is going to run well too.
Thank you very much. Chris, who do you like?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty tough to separate the front two. I can see the cases for both of them. Moving forward, probably the horse I'm interested in going forward with in the long term is Lionel for David Minutiae and Jamie Spencer. I was really impressed the way he won at Goodwood, doing his best work late on. I think he's going to want longer than this in time. He could be a horse for maybe the St. Ledger in September. I think if the rain does arrive, he'll appreciate that. And he's a horse that I want to keep an eye on. Maybe not back him, but he's probably the one I'll be looking at. As a tip out the front two, I probably would just favour Westover, but not a really strong opinion in this race.
Have you got a strong opinion, Mark?
I think it's very difficult to have a bullish on, but I do think there's value in Hannibal Barca each way. Like I know Tuesday, the case you could say with Tuesday is what price would Emily Upjohn be here if she was turning up in the Irish Derby? And I think if you factor that in, you'd imagine that Tuesday is probably fairly priced here at her odds. But, you know, fillies in the Irish Derby, we've only had four to try it since 1994 when Balanchine did it. It is tricky to do. Now, none have been as short in the market as Tuesday, but I think it is a proper test. And regardless of whether Westover runs to the same level at Epsom or not, I think we don't know how good Hannibal Barca is. Like, he was a better two-year-old than Westover, fourth in the Virgin Futurity, as Robbie has pointed out. But Joseph O'Brien, I've always got the feeling this season he's very, very fond of this horse since he got him from Brian Meehan last year. I loved what he did in his first start for Joseph. It's only his fifth run of his career here this Saturday. It was the same at La Trobe when he won the Irish Derby for Joseph. It was just his fifth start. He's up to a mile and a half. It's a slight unknown, but I do think he will stay because by Zoffany out of a Galileo mare, I think that gives him enough encouragement to do it. Around 9 or 10 to 1, you're getting each way value. I will just say a slightly curious one with Ryan Moore in the Irish Derby. Like, you know, he's rattled the crossbar, but he hasn't got there yet. He's had 9 goes and he hasn't won it. He's been beaten on horses at evens, 5 to 4, 11 to 4, 11 to 4, twos, evens, 5 to 4, 9 to 4. He has had some proper chances and hasn't got it. So if he does manage to come out on top on Tuesday, you might get a little bit more of a passionate response than you typically get from Ryan. But really, really looking forward to it. It is a fascinating race, but Hannibal Barca might just be the value.
And one quick word, making news this week has been this €50 admission fee. I mean, I think most sort of experienced race goers over here in the UK would think, well, what's the big deal? €50, 45 quid. That seems fair enough for Ireland's big flat day of the year. I mean, what's the story here, Mark? Because I must admit, I saw the headlines and I thought, well, is it that much? I mean, I know it's a lot, but compared to what you have to pay to get in some of the big meetings in England, it's actually not that bad, I wouldn't have thought.
It is. I can absolutely see where you're coming from, because in Britain, the cost of going racing is a very, very different commodity than what it is over here. I suppose some people are taking the view online and their criticism of it that the Curragh is trying to attract back more people, trying to win them over after what I think everyone can agree has been a difficult and hasn't been the most positive period for the track, that maybe they could have made a greater effort to bring prices down and get people in the gate. But, you know, I spoke to Brian Kavanagh during the week for a piece on this in the Racing Post, and it's €50 if you pay on the gate. It's €40 if you pay now. The tickets had been available at €25 and €30 originally. So, you know, maybe as a ticketing side of things for horse racing, you know, it's encouraging people to book in advance. It's obviously easier to prepare if you know the sort of crowd numbers you're going to get in advance. I know they're going to expect a decent crowd regardless for an Irish Derby. But I think the way that race courses might want to operate in the future is more towards an advanced ticketing model. I think at €40 for the premier day at any racetrack in Ireland is fair enough. But I do think the Curragh, maybe if they were really trying to push the boat out and get people in, you know, make it 30, make it just a little bit more affordable for the guy coming in. I understand at other sporting events, you know, if you're to compare it to the top, you know, rugby match of the year, the top soccer match of the year, Gaelic games, it is reasonable compared to that. But it isn't your only expense when you pay through the gate at a race meeting. We obviously have, you know, you're going to have a bite to eat. You're probably going to have a bet, etc. So there are two sides to it. But I don't think it's as maybe outrageous as some people are putting across when you consider that you can buy them for 40 right now.
Okay, interesting stuff. Let's hope they have a great day and a great race. Rounding off the Saturday ITV card of three races from Newmarket. They're on the July course, of course, now. And the first of those is the 205. It's the Maureen Britton Memorial Empress. Filly Stakes, a listed race over six furlongs. And Minnetonka is favourite at 5-2 from Malrescue at 9-2. And then we've got Lezou at fives, Believing at 15-2. 12 Mercia, 14 Bar. And I tell you what, guys, I cannot believe the price of Believing. She was taken out at Royal Ascot because at the start, before she got into the stalls. But she was a big price then, didn't get a chance. I know I just ask you, and I keep my opinions to myself, but I'm going to butt in here and say that I think Believing is massive each way value. Tell me why I'm wrong, Chris.
You're not wrong, but I'd just be concerned about her temperament down at the start. If she breaks away on terms, then she's a major player. But for me, I think there could be a couple of others in here that have got a bit more potential and a bit more class moving forward. I thought Minnetonka was probably maybe just about the right favourite. It was quite impressive, I thought, when winning at Salisbury. Interesting, Jim Crowley replaces Pat Dobb. I'm not quite sure why that is. And the colours of the Westerbergs, who have horses with Aidan O'Brien. So, interesting connections for Richard Hannon. I think she'll go very close, but I'm going to take a chance on Frankie, who's riding the Zoo here for Rafe Beckett. He rides quite a lot of these horses for Mark Shan. I was just very taken by the way she won at Bath. She might not have beaten much, but she did beat a previous winner at Sandown that I had a good word for before, called Cuban Mistress. So I think she could be open to a lot more improvement, and it would just be a fitting winner, I think, for what's been going on with Frankie over the last few days. And yeah, she gets my vote, Lezou.
Okay, in case you're not quite sure what's been happening this week, of course, Frankie normally rides for John Gosden, hasn't been jocked up on Gosden's horses. This follows, obviously, last week's well-publicised falling out over Frankie's ride on Stradivarius in the Gold Cup. A statement is due today, brackets Friday, after a meeting. I say a statement's due, it might not be due, but there's certainly a meeting between Gosden and Dettori is due today. We will see what happens. But Robbie, reading between the lines, you'd have to say it looks like that famed trainer jockey partnership, you know, is fractured either permanently or certainly in the short term. It's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You wonder if something else has happened behind the scenes for this to take off, because it seemed, I mean, before Royal Ascot, it seemed all nice and rosy, really. But we'll find out more. We'll find out more later today for sure. And it'll be interesting.
Well, who wins this?
I don't know if she wins, but I've been waiting for Absolutely Flawless to step up in trip for a while now. She's been staying on really well over five furlongs, just been a bit flat out on her feet at Beverly last time, the Hillary Needler. I think she's going to really improve for this. She's about 14-1. It's very tentative though for me. But yeah, she's the one I think is a bit overpriced.
Mark, are you going to fall into the same trap as the other two and not tip Believing?
I'm so sorry, Bruce, but it's a race that I don't have a strong view on. I thought Lezou was probably the one. Rafe Beckett won a couple of years ago too. Did really well to win a debut. And yeah, Frankie, be very interesting to see what comes up afterwards. I thought the comments in our piece with David Mills this morning from John Gosden were quite interesting, where he's saying Frankie was away in Italy for a wedding the week before Royal Ascot. And yeah, I don't know. Just as you say, you get the vibe. This is a very, very hard one to recover, isn't it? This relationship. Very disappointing after all they've been through. But I think Frankie might get one over on them this weekend with Lezou here.
And Mark, just quickly, if this is the end and you're Gosden and you're looking around at who's there for a stable jockey, who would you opt for?
I nearly imagine you go freelance until Ushie Murphy is back. You know, I think he'd be an ideal fit. You know, big race, no issue to him at all. Day in, day out, he's very, very solid. I know he's had his issues. Might make absolutely no odds at all, but you've seen him in the parade ring at times before Stradivarius has run as well, I think, at York. I think I've read online there in a piece recently that he's gone out with Bjorn Nielsen's daughter. He's ridden winners for John Gosden too. He's obviously roaring line, a relationship there. So, I think he'd make sense. I know Holly Doyle is quite short in the market for that, but I think she's doing quite well in the position she's in at the moment. It would be a brilliant opportunity for her if it came about, but Ushin, if he was available to take on and he's, you know, riding at the peak of his powers, I think he's a very, very difficult man to look beyond. But who knows what'll happen?
I bet Chris and Robbie are in dying to have a crack at the answer to that question. So, Chris, you are John Gosden. Who are you going to employ if it's not Frankie? Of course, they might kiss and make up.
They might do, but I think Holly deserves a big job now. I just think she's brilliant. Every time I see her race in, whether it's a Class 6 handicap at Wolverhampton or she's in a Group 1, she rarely makes a bad mistake. I think she's top class. And I think, given what happened at Royal Ascot last week, there were quite a few mistakes that Frankie made on various horses. It just wasn't Stradivarius. He was slow out of the stalls with Lord North, and there were a couple of other riders as well that were scrutinised. I just think Holly, I think if she's on the right ammunition, I think she's more than capable of getting the job done. And with all these good horses, I think she could potentially make the difference instead of someone at Frankie at his age now. I know it's a bit, maybe I'm being a bit premature there saying Frankie's getting on a little bit now, but I just think the fact that Holly's riding all the time and Frankie's been a little bit more selective about his rides these days, he might just be a little bit ring rusty. And for me, I think Holly Doyle was brilliant, and for me, if I was John Gosden, I would be ringing her up and booking her on all my horses.
How about you, Robbie?
Yeah, I'd go with Holly as well. I mean, she's one of the best riders around. She's the right kind of age. She's got a really good attitude. You do wonder sometimes, maybe if Frankie's got a bit, not an ego, but you know what I mean? I mean, Holly, yeah, she just gets her head down. I'd probably give it to her. But James Doyle would also interest me too. I think he's top class too.
I still think Frankie's absolutely superb. But I suppose you've got to look to the future. 2:40 Newmarket on Saturday. The House of Cavani Menswear Fred Archer Stakes over 1.4 miles. A listed race. Yet another wide open one. There's very few short price favourites to discuss. There's only five here, but there's not much between them in the market. We've got two Godolphin, both Charlie Appleby, both at the head of the market. Rebels Romance, 11-4 Fav. Kamari, 7-2, 7-2 Stole, 4 Universal Order, and your outsider is Something Enticing. What's your view of this race, Robbie Wilders?
Yeah, trappy, isn't it? I was surprised William Buick was riding Rebels Romance. I mean, no 1 mile four form. All his form's on the dirt in Maidan. Just surprised he's not riding Kamari. I thought Kamari had the best form. I mean, I know it wasn't technically a seasonal return at York the other day behind Without a Fight in that listed race, but he hadn't raced since January in Maidan. I'm counting it as a seasonal return. I think he's going to improve from it. He ran quite a good race there. Dropping down in trips, he proved no issue. And well, basically, I think if Buick was riding Kamari, he'd be quite a short price favourite here. So I'm going to stick with Kamari under James Doyle.
Righto, Chris Loader.
No, I'm agreeing here with Robbie. I think Kamari, I'm a bit surprised, like Robbie said, why Rebels Romance is the favourite, probably because Buick has decided to ride him, but he's got no form on the grass. I think Kamari's just rock solid one. I think he's as well the likely pace angle. He could just go from the front, make it a tactical affair, and I think he'll win. So Kamari for me.
And for Mark Boylan.
I'm concerned that Buick is deserting Kamari, and I just wonder what sort of form he's in this season. I would like to see a little bit more from Majorque, to be quite honest. And Stole is the one I came down on. For all that Frankie is absolutely deadly, I didn't think it was his finest hour in the Copper Horse and this horse here last week. He got involved way too soon. He had taken his time on him, building into the race, sent him on, and he just picked up so well. Maybe he was surprised by how well he picked up, but I think if he had waited, he would have been fighting out the finish, to be honest, nearly winning it. So Stole here for me, provided that run 11 days ago hasn't knocked any of the edge off him.
Righty-ho, and the final ITV race we're going to look ahead to on Saturday is the 3:15 at Newmarket. It's the House of Cavani Menswear Criterion Stakes over a group three over 7 furlongs. And the Gosdens have the favourite here in Sunray Major, ridden by James Doyle. At 9-4, and then it's 5-2, Lanakash. 11-2, Pogo. 17-2, Ever Given. 11-1, Bar. We've got 7 runners, which kind of takes the gloss away from the each way potential. But who knows, there may be a value bet. Is there, Mark Boylan?
Not that I can see, Bruce. This is one I'm sitting out. I love Pogo, but just worry that he can confirm that form with Lanakish from last time. He got it all his own way on that occasion. So no bet for me, but I'll be shouting on Pogo.
Jolly good. What about you, Rob?
Yeah, I think Lanakish will win, but the juice has kind of gone out of his price now. I think he was the one to take out of that John and Gaunt between Pogo, Sunray Major and himself. Pogo's got £3 penalty for that. He was given a really good ride that day. I think he's going to find it tougher here. And that was Lanacash's season return, so he should come forward for it. Just one, I thought, at a massive price. I was considering backing him anti-post, as base player. He was only second run last. He's outside the field, actually. He was only second run at Epsom last time in a listed race when he's third to the rear post and ever given. But he just didn't handle Epsom at all that day. He was out on his feet. He was green around the camber. I think there's a lot more to come from this. So I think he's going to reverse form with ever given, who's about half the price. So it could be quite a decent match bet. But I think Lanacash will win, yeah.
Interesting. Chris, what's your opinion of this?
I didn't have a particularly strong opinion. I was a bit confused why Pogo was the rank outsider of the free market principles. There wasn't much separated them at Haydock last time out. And I think from a value perspective, he would be the one. But yeah, tricky race to work out. I think it'd probably well be between the first three, but I couldn't nail my colours to the mast.
Okay, we're back in just a moment with loads more, hopefully, wise words on the weekend racing.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to The Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington with Mark Boylan, Chris Loader and Robbie Wild, as we've done all the ITV races, plus the race at the car that they're not showing. Let's see what else the lads fancy on Saturday, as well as the Newmarket, Newcastle and Curragh undercards. We've got Windsor, we've got Chester, and then we've got evening action from Lingfield and Doncaster. We'll start with you, Mark Boylan. What else should the listeners be homing in on?
I'm quite happy to wait for one on Sunday in a handicap at the Curragh Roos, so happy to pass this one for the rest of Saturday.
All right then, across to you, Chris.
Yeah, I just had a couple to watch out for at Chester in the afternoon on Saturday. In the last race, the 5:20, I thought Bailey's Derby Day was quite interesting for Charlie and Mark Johnston. Franny Norton booked. I think there could still be a little bit more to come from him off a mark of 78. He finished second behind Evaluation last time out, who runs earlier in the day at Newcastle in Northumberland Plate Constellation race. So if Evaluation goes in, I think Bailey's Derby Day could be a warm favourite. I think he'll be handy. I think he'll go towards the front, and I think he'll hang on and get the job done. And I think there's a little bit more to come from him. So yeah, he'll probably be where I'm looking away from the main Saturday racing.
Just the one?
Yeah, just the one.
Rightio. Robbie?
Yeah, just the one for me, Bruce. Really like our old friend Max Sweeney in the 4:20 of the Curragh on Saturday, the international.
Sure, you need to do a rain dance for him to win, surely.
Well, you say that. We're saying, won't we, he's the most ground-dependent horse around. But you actually go back for his form. I mean, he was a close third to Sealaway in the Champion Stakes on Good Soft over 1 mile 2. And he was fourth in the Derby, not shaping as if getting the trip on Good to Soft that day. I think, it's going to be Good Soft, I think, but he's going to come forward for his comeback running the Tattersalls Gold Cup when that was on good ground. I think he does need a slight ease, of course. But he's going to step forward from that. And that race is obviously working out really well with State of Rest winning at Royal Ascot and Broome winning at Royal Ascot as well. He's opened up about 3-1. I think that's a huge price, to be honest. So I think he's a Group 1 horse running a Group 3, and he's not got a penalty, so he should win.
One of my favourite features of the Racing Post website is to be able to sort horses' profiles by everything from price to weight to ground. And if you click on ground for Max Sweeney, this is his record when it's been no softer than good. 7th of 8th, 12th of 12th, 11th of 14th, 5th of 7th, 6th of 11th, 4th of 7th, 8th of 10th, 9th of 10th. So basically with good, he may as well stay in his box. Good to soft or worse, 3rd of 9th, 4th of 11th, 1st of 9, 5th of 9, 1st of 8, 1st of 11, 1st of 8. He is so ground dependent. So if you do agree with Robbie, then you do need to make sure that the going goes from the current state of good to something a bit softer.
Yeah, let's wait. If it is good ground, I'll leave it out. But if it's good to soft, as I think it will be, I think he's going to win.
Righty-ho. Thank you very much, gents. Before we get the weekend naps, let's look ahead to Sunday, because the Curragh is a two-day festival. And there's some really good racing on the Sunday, highlighted by the 3:45, the Always Mia Pretty Polly Stakes, a Group 1. For fillies and mares, 9 runners, €177,000 is the prize to the winner. Best odds currently 100-30 La Petite Coco, 9-2 Dream Loper, 11-2 Purple Pay, 13-2 Maestra, 7 Concert Hall, 12 Ross Carberry. Now, it's not the most star-studded Pretty Polly in terms of pre-race. It might turn out to be, but it's damn competitive. And Mark Boyle, and you can go first at trying to tell us who's going to win it.
I really, really like Purple Pay here for William Haggis. Just as an aside, William, since he won this race with Urban Fox in 2018, he's had 12 runners in Ireland, all in listed or group races, and 7 of them have won. He is absolutely electric when he comes over here with his horses. Now, this filly, we didn't see the very best of her in the Irish 1000 guineas, but it was her first start for 200 odd days, first run since joining the stable. But by God, she put that to right when she won in France last time. I don't think it was the hottest Group 2 that you've ever seen, but at the same time, she won like a filly that was well beyond that sort of grade. I think she's more than entitled to have a crack at this. She's gone up to 1.25. I think that'll be ideal because, you know, by Zarak, he won a Group 1 over 1.5, and he's out of an ARC winner in Zarkava, so that's going to be no issue. You know, La Petite Coco is a really, really smart filly, but I think this is a big ask without a prep run. Paddy Toomey has also supplemented Ross Carberry here for €30,000 during the week. She's been absolutely brilliant since she joined him. She was rated 81 in April. Now she's up to 105 after winning a Group 3. And it's testament to Paddy's ability as a trainer. Like, his strike rate this season is off the charts, 37%. He was 30% last year. He's a terrific trainer. But I think he'd have to be at his very best to get La Petite Coco or Ross Carberry to topple Purple Pay here. She's the one I like an awful lot.
That is the case of the day so far. Mark Boyle and very sweet on Purple Pay, and a great stat to back it up. 7 winners from his last 12 Irish Raiders for William Haggis. Follow that, Chris Loader.
Well, I like the other William Haggis runner, Maestra. Maestra, I was so impressed with her when she won at Ayr. She absolutely bolted up on soft ground in a listed race, winning by 12 lengths, and she was barely out of second gear that day. I think there's lots more to come from her. She was a horse that I was hoping was going to run at Royal Ascot, and when I looked at the entries after her Ayr win, this was the only entry she had, so it looks like it's clearly been a target for her. She was actually meant to run on Friday night at Newcastle in the Group 3 race there, but because it looks like we could be getting some rain at the Curragh, that probably has boosted her claims with the soft ground. So I think she's going to run a mighty race. She's got a lovely pedigree. She's half sister to my Oberon, so she comes from a lovely family. I think there's a lot more to come from her, and I'm going to go with the other William Haggis runner, Maestra. I think she could be a Group 1 filly in the making, and there could still be a lot more to come.
Oh, the boys are bringing out their jokers here for the Pretty Polly. Robbie, are you as bullish as the other two about something in this?
Yeah, this is a great race, I think. I was Mark's actually.
Do you think I besmirched it by saying it wasn't the highest quality?
I think
paper?
Yeah. When you said that, I was sort of biting my lip.
Did you win?
Yeah, a little bit. I was like, he's embarrassed himself a bit there.
But, I wonder if I can get that edited out.
I mean, this William Haggis, when he goes over to Ireland, as Mike points out, he's absolutely mustard. I mean, Maestra and Purple Pay were top of my list. They're the two fillies in the field that have got top class soft ground form. And with the way that it's going to look on Sunday, it's going to be more test on Sunday than it is on Saturday. I think these are the two. Maestra, as Chris points out, so impressive at Ayr in a listed race last time, winning by 12 lengths. RPR of 116, you just don't see that in a listed race very often. She's going the right way. Purple Pay absolutely loves soft ground. Really impressive. Group 2 victory at Shanty. I'll probably do a reverse forecast, but if pressed for one, I go for Maestra.
Thank you very much, gents. I think, Mark, you've got a couple of other horses for us at the Curragh. Don't forget, there is also a really good 3-mile-2 listed chase at Uttoxeter on Sunday. That takes place at 3:00. That should be well worth tuning in for. But what else have you got for us, Mark, at the Curragh on Sunday?
Yeah, a little bit more low-key, but the 450, the median auction maiden at the Curragh, I like Free to Party for Johnny Murta. Improved nicely from first start to second, and I thought just got involved in a real scrap for too long. Credit to his attitude that he kept going. He was only touched off by a head by a horse that swooped past two that had duelled it out all the way up the straight. But Free to Party, I think he's more than good enough to win a maiden of that standard at 450. I can't wait to see Statuette in the 210, the early stud stakes, the Group 2 for fillies. I would have fancied her to win the Albany if she'd gone there. I think David Jennings would have felt the same. Unfortunately, Ballydoyle sent Meditate instead, and that worked out okay, but I think this filly is even better than Meditate. I'm really looking forward to seeing how she gets on. She's going to be short, but it's an exciting one to see how she develops. By Justify, loved what she did on debut. And other than that, we have the Rockingham, which is a tricky puzzle to solve. 100 grand handicap, 5 furlongs. but I actually think there's proper value here with Laugh a Minute. He's 25-1, and you're going to get five or six places here at the very least. One, he loves a little bit of an ease in the ground. You've seen it at the car earlier this season. Strongly run five, right up his street. He'll get that here. He'll get the little bit of ease in the ground. Adam McGuinness in Premier Handicaps, he just targets them so well. And you can often see some of his horses where they can run and win a Premier Handicap. If they don't back it up the next time, their marks can tumble, let's say, or come back down to a similar range where they've won a Premier Handicap before, and it can click very, very soon again. And this horse, I think he's got that sort of profile. You know, he won as 11-4 favourite, and he's been bigger prices, kind of 25s, 18-1 the last couple of times. £10 claimer on him last time. Still running fine, but running him over 6 and 7, I think a strongly run 5 is everything he wants. So 25-1, Laugh a Minute. He's drawn 11 as well. He'd have options either way to go for pace. I'd be very, very happy to take an each-way flyer on him at the prices.
Adam McGuinness has got three in the same colours, all at 25-1, but Mark likes Laugh a Minute in the 3-10 at the Curra. Let's get the weekend naps.
This will not be beaten.
I'm going first, lads. I know I never should normally do a nap and it rarely ends well, but I'm just all over this. The lovely George Bowie filly believing in the 205 at Newmarket. Mark Boylan, what's your weekend nap?
Why don't we go for Purple Pay, 3:45, Curra on Sunday, the Pretty Polly.
Jolly good. Chris Loader?
Yeah, I'm going to Windsor on the Saturday, the 3:55, Dubai Icon. I think this is an easier race for him compared to his race last time out at Nottingham. He's a horse that's got a lot of form in Dubai, but I think he's the class act in here. He's dropped £3 for his last run. He's down to a mark of 104. His form at Nottingham has worked out really well, actually. He was behind Dark Shift and Dubai Mirage, who won at Salisbury earlier this week. Andrea Zaney's booked. He's on fire at the moment. He's operating at 38% strike rate. Saeed is going well as well at 27% strike rate. I just think he'll go to the front, make all, and I think he'll be hard to pass. So Dubai Icon in the 3:55 at Windsor on Saturday.
And he's 3-1. And finally, Robbie Wilders.
Letting my heart out, but let's go again. 4:20 at the Curra on Saturday, Max Sweeney. It's going to be good soft. Don't pigeonhole him as a complete mudlark. He's still very good and good soft. He's going to win.
Okay. Excellent stuff. Thank you very much indeed, gents. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Ed for producing. We're back next Friday where Chris goes from being the expert to the host, and we will be looking ahead to a great weekend of racing highlighted by the Coral Eclipse. So do join us for that.